Gordon will provide the food. Don't worry about the food. I don't know what it is, but he's going to hear from us if it is not the best. But he also asked if you can bring a dish of dessert, whatever it is, some pie or cake or whatever you can fix like that. We would appreciate that. And let's have fellowship at his house and rejoice. You know, I was counting the other day when Brother Brian, Brother Gordon mentioned about the dedication. You know, there are many people bought homes, you know, the last few years here. Many. Lisa, Patricia, Brian, Gordon, Sister Rosie. There was somebody else. Huh? Sister Provencio. The Lord bless the people, you know, and we have to give him thanks all the time for what he has done for us. Amen? And thank the Lord. You know, Sunday night, I left and was thinking about when Brother Brian came over to be prayed. And after he came over to be prayed, I'd rather see something like that instead of everybody dancing in the Spirit. Because it was the leading of the Spirit. You know, that's the evidence of the Holy Ghost. We respond and go back where we're supposed to be. And we are prayed and God answers. Isn't it wonderful? I mean, God answers. That's a wonderful thing. I was studying this afternoon some points from the Pergamos Church Age. And Brother Bram was saying Sunday in the tape, he says, I'm on tape, he said, you see and I know where it's going. He screamed and he says, repent. Get back to the Bible, get back to Christ. What does he want? Get back to the Bible, get back to Christ. The whole message was a restoration ministry back to Jesus Christ. You know? And if we learn that, we just handle everything very, very cautiously. Now, I'll continue about the Pergamos Church Age. And I like to say I found myself in an ocean of materials. But I'm just picking up just the most important, at least what I think is important. And I'll look at them. And we see what happened then, because it's related to us. It relates to us today. Now, Pergamos Church Age in the second chapter of Revelations, and starting with the 12th verse, and we read unto the angel of the church of Pergamos, write, "This thing say he, which has the sharp sword with two edges." I know thy works, and how where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. God knows where the devil's seat is. And the scripture continues, and he says this, "And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days where when Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth." Now, when you study that, and you say, what is the seed of Satan? You know, you can be studying hours. I'm not talking about 2-3 hours. Hours over six and up at the same time. And you can be looking something and you don't see it there until God reveals it to you. Because we are human beings and we look sometimes carnally at things, and unless the Holy Spirit reveals, we don't understand. And I trust the Holy Spirit. Now, when I was studying that on the 15th verse, it reads about the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, it says thus, "So Jesus has thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which things I hate." God speaks about things. And listen to what God said. Now he says there's a doctrine, that's the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. And it was a time, of course, of the Ephesian church age, that the Ephesian church age hated that. Let the Holy Spirit lead the people instead of man. In the last few months, it seems to me, Israel comes back to my mind. That when Satan wants to work the people, he has ways to try to destroy them. And one of the things was with Israel. Now he says, let's make a captain. When you make a captain, you actually deny the Holy Ghost leadership. Because a believer is led by the Spirit and not by a captain, friends. And that's what I believe. God can anoint you, can anoint me. But the pastor is not the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost leads you and me, but not the pastor. We can discuss about sermons, we can preach sermons and so on, but the priority is the Holy Spirit. But when I was studying about that doctrine, I saw that in the place, in the Pergamos church age, that the seat, he says, where Satan, somewhere the power of authority, I found out that there was a Greek word, thronos, which means the throne. So we start developing the throne of Rome there. And you'll see going step by step. Now, the false teachers at Ephesus, we know, at Thyatira, have penetrated in the church of Pergamos. What happened there, the doctrine of the Ephesian church was that the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which was the erga, who means the works. Like sometimes you have a congregation, and some people do this and that and that. That was works of the Nicolaitans. Let me be more plain. Let's say you have an assembly, and we're waiting on the Lord for the Lord to bless us and to guide us and to lead us. And all of a sudden, you know, somebody is led to go to the movies and do this and do that. This is the deeds. But when we're talking about the doctrine, is the teaching of the pulpit. So that doctrine started moving from the people to the pulpit. And how did it move like that? It moved by compromising. And any time we let down the bars, any time we compromise, we'll have problems later. Regardless of how hard is the gospel, say, Lord, I know I'm wrong, and your word is correct, your word is true, and I'm here, and I'm willing to obey. Please help me to learn how to obey. God now show us here that the doctrine of the Ephesian church was the deeds, but the Nicolaitans became the doctrine. What happened? From the sin that enters among the people. That's why we have to watch sometimes. Sometimes the compromise is so strong, for members, people will do lots of things. Do you know that? Accept the message and we'll let down the bars. And there are no groups that they don't believe in the blood of Christ, the propitiation of sins. They don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They don't believe in these things. And you know what it is? It's a free meal, a free lunch. Come and join. You don't have to do anything. Just accept the message. And you know what? Accepting the message, unless the Holy Spirit had you to accept it, you'll never be able to know what you're doing. It needs a new birth, a new life in Christ Jesus. Sometimes older and younger people are so confused because they think now will be a doctrine that I'm going to study and be part of the message. That had nothing to do with it. It's the Holy Ghost that gives you repentance to go to God and say, Lord, forgive me for my sins. That's a blessed thing. You know, we should never be in a state that we cannot ask forgiveness. I'm dancing in joy. Brother, when I go closing in prayer Sunday, Brother Brian comes right in the front. And he says, I pray the Lord to forgive me. And he says, my ear and so on. And you know what? We pray. What brought him here? The Holy Ghost. You know, the Holy Ghost will lead you and to guide you all the time. He's your guide. And then God answers. And how beautiful it is, we give Him praise today of what He has done Sunday. I like that, don't you? Because God is God. Now, The deeds, of course, of the Nicolaitans were practiced only by individuals, but the Ephesians stood against it. The scripture teaches us in Ephesus church that I also hate, God said. I don't like them. I'm disliking them. And what happened? These deeds, this compromise are coming in. The way that people talk, the way that people act, the way, no respect sometimes in the assembly, anything, you know, you can imagine, you know, what happened. The outside influence, you know, comes to the individual and they don't come in. And if, for example, if the Holy Spirit doesn't help us to stand against it, you know, we'll be taken under. So, now, the difference in Pergamos age, it became a doctrine, which the word is the teaching. The pulpit now is teaching these doctrines. It's so easy. And I always believe this. God sent a prophet, and you know what? There are things that Brother Branham told me. But you know, that was for me. I'm not a name dropper. To see that Brother Branham said this, Brother Branham said this. Because the people sometimes, they're quoting Brother Branham to escape their name droppers. The fact remains, the scripture is the priority here. We cannot deviate from the word of God, friends. Because once and we do it, we are under. So now these Nicolaitans with their doctrines, this is a similar to the denominational catechism. Instead of leaving the scriptures alone, what was the teaching of the apostles, and so on, leave it alone. They start adding and splicing doctrines, splicing things. By the time they finished, they were way far off from reality. I learned the last few years that if somebody has a doctrine and he wants to sell it to you, he normally waits and targets you. And I believe that many people that are Satan anointed. You know that in this message? I believe that. Satan anoints them. And you know, Brother Branham said repeatedly, give them the word test. Did he say that or not? He did. So when they start with their doctrine, I said, Brother, can you give me the scripture that you base that doctrine? Then they get red in their face and mad, and just there's a spirit there that you are looking at the face of the man that it's not God. But always we're supposed to have no fear to bring, if we believe something, back to the scriptures. And I like that. Because you have a foundation where we stand. Now, these people, of course, let us compare our condition today, where the Bible is the primary place or the pulpit, instead of splicing quotes. Brother Branham preached in Pergamos Sunday night. He says, go back to the Bible. The people get away from the Bible anymore. They do exactly the opposite. They justify anything you can imagine. But let me say this. The scripture is the most infallible thing to have. And if you take one word out of it, or write one word, then your name can be taken out of the Lamb's Book of Life. So if you say, I got a doctrine, bring it to the scriptures. And if the scriptures can stand for it. I have a friend of mine, there was a big conflict among some people, well-known people. And he quoted something, and he said, I can bring back to the scripture. I said, what you can bring back to the scripture? The man asked him. He says that Jesus lasted. I said, where did you find that lasted? You see, there are seven Greek words there that interprets it. You read Matthew 4, when Satan picked up Jesus to take him over to be tempted. The word is not tempted, but like he must to be tested. You know? To be tested to see, is he really the Son of God? Not to be tempted, because God is God, he cannot be tempted. Read James, the first two chapters. You cannot tempt God. Leave it alone. But we twist the word sometimes, and we make some things that's not even scriptural. Now, these people here that we know, the today condition, with, unless we go back to the scriptures, we're becoming more and more in trouble. Doctrines that have part of the word and not all the word, or splicing quotes, will never last. Why, a man said to me one time, Brother David, I believe in the message that's greater than the scriptures. You know what? Anytime you have a contradiction in your heart, you're defeated. I don't care who you are. You have to see the scriptures and the message as no contradiction at all. If you see contradiction, you have contradiction in your heart, you never do it. Read the tape God had explained. Study that tape. It has to be pure faith, and faith has no contradiction. Now, paganism had conquered the pulpit, and the pulpit had conquered the people. Now we have the Nicolaitan doctrine penetrate in. Now we're moving slow, but we have the foundation now of the Roman Catholic Church. Now the Pergamos Church Age in Revelations 2:13, we have in the King James the statement Satan seed is, where the Satan seed is. But if you study that in the original text in the manuscripts, you find out or thrown us to Satana, who means the throne of Satan. Singular tense. Here is the formation by Satan of the throne of Roman Catholic Church, where the Pope is going to sit. You see, Brother David, is that where it started? Now, when we talk about the seat of Satan, can be a committee, can be anything you can imagine. But when you say singular tense, the throne of Satan, you're narrowing down to the Pope. Now, listen. Studying that very close, you'll find out we're establishing now the throne from which Satan is going to rule. You see, how he's going to rule. I put together one time, I copied some materials, old materials, about Romanism. And I'm scared to print it, because so much in it. But when the Pope takes over, he takes an oath. Let me give you the oath that he goes through. Receive that tiara, that's the thing that he has on his head, the triple crown there. Adored with three crowns, that's where the Trinitarian doctrine started in there. Iris, Isis, the Egyptian goddess. And know that thou art the father of princes and of kings. Ruler of the world. Are you listening? And vicar of our Savior, Jesus Christ. In other words, here you have a throne established, and here you have a man who's going to sit that's the vicar of Jesus Christ. He can forgive sins. He cannot forgive sins. Only the blood of Jesus forgives and wipes out sins. Am I right? And nothing less. Put your name in any book, put your name in the message, you still cannot be saved like that. It takes the life of Jesus Christ in you through repentance to restore you back to Calvary. When you read that, it says, receive the tiara, adorned with three crowns, and know that I am the father of princes and kings, ruler of the world, and vicar of the Savior Jesus Christ. You talk about power. There's nothing left without controlling it. Seems to me that that kind of a vow will tell even Jesus what to do. He takes over the earth and he tells Jesus what to do up in heaven. You know? But this doesn't work. When you see that tiara there going on, where it started? It started by the Persians, when they used to have this headdress on the top and so on. Then it went to the Pope, which wore the triple crown. Now, the throne of Satan is defined, its meaning, from some of the following circumstances. Listen now. Now we're forming the throne of Satan that you can understand, Revelation 17, 18, the mother harlot and the daughters and so on, all the way through. Number one, the city as a seat of pagan worship, that was Pergamos. It contained temples, at least four of the most prominent Greek divinities, who also were represented in its coins. The old coins that you see sometimes, You have the picture of the old goddesses, the paganism. Listen to the next one very carefully. You know, it was the place of worship of Asclepios. Who is that guy? Listen to this. Which his title was a savior. He can save the people. Not Jesus, the Pope. You are forming the Catholic Church now. So Asclepios was a savior, and also as a symbol, he got a serpent. And all these things had meanings. I'm looking for the materials to bring you some time to see the meanings of it. Which remind the Christians as Satan himself in Revelations 12:9 and 12:22. In the regular Greek U.S. material, I couldn't find what I wanted. And there is the picture of Asclepios with a serpent. That's from a Greek encyclopedia. I'd like to ask Brother Craig to take it right at the closing of the service, put it in the front if the people want to see it. It says this below that, Asclepios. Typos Agenos, a man without descent. He came from nowhere. Only Christ came like that. We start paralleling now the pagan worship and God's worship. So close. Then you find here the seed of Satan refers, of course, it's all in Greek, but you can see the picture of the serpent that he has. And each one of these items had a meaning. It wasn't just stick a serpent, put a stick and have the serpent. No, it was a meaning on every one of them. So we have the formation of the Catholic Church. Now we have a throne. We have an object of worship that's a savior. And also that object of worship has a serpent. These kind of things that you see now forming for the Catholic Church, the existence of the Acropolis. What's the Acropolis? Comes from the word Akron Polis. At the end of the city, was all kinds of statues and worshiping items there. Pergamos was the center of heathen worship. It's the formation of the Catholic Church. And you know, there was a witness there of the martyrdom of Antipas, which revealed, you know, that Satan hated God in that city. It was the martyrdom. That's in the scriptures under Pergamos Church Ages. Revelations 2. Pergamos, not the seat of Satan, but the throne of Satan. In the church of Smyrna, we have the synagogue of Satan. Synagogue comes from the word synago. Sin is together. Ago, lead. Get together for leadership. That's what synagogue means. It's a place, it's a Jewish word, synagogi. Seen together and our. Now, but now we have the reference or the development of the corruption, which we call it the throne of Satan. From the synagogue became the throne in a singular tense, and from now on you have the worship of Satan. Christians will suffer. Christians will be persecuted. I don't know if you remember the tape. I think it was in a book, the last book that I gave you. You know, so it was 26 sermons. The sermon, Why Honor a Denomination, Were a Great Harlot. Brother Dime says it would be a religious persecution as they did in pagan Rome years ago. Thus saith the Lord, he said. Everything else you see, it's moving right now. I mean, we know nothing what happened to us. I was talking to a businessman the other day. I said, how are you doing, Mike? Good, and so on. I said, what do you think is going on? He said, it's better you don't know. Don't think. He said, don't think. Don't let them go. Because you go crazy if you know what's going on. I mean, to me, it was a shocking point for the U.S. Congress to approve foreign aid for Philippines and give it to the Catholic Church for distribution. What do you think about that? That's your tax and my taxes. And you know, you think it will be free all the time? No. Sooner or later, things will rise up. There will be excuses to tie up the laws. The last law, I haven't read it. I followed that for some time. It was in Canada. And there were some laws which called a law to avoid any criticism of any group, regardless of what it is. We have a law now in industry of sexual harassment. And we have a law of religious harassment. You can name the name of Jesus to somebody, he can be fired. You know that? That's right, it's there. Because what happened? We're getting away now. And the Christian world has no power at all. If you tell them, hallelujah, praise the Lord, they'll vote for you. Satan can stand and tell them, hallelujah, they'll vote for the devil. They don't know, they cannot separate things anymore. They're so carnal, they're so failing that they don't even know. A church has become, as we study in the church ages, Brother Brown called it soup suppers and everything else. The first thing you see, a church starts, let's have a social hall. What the social hall is for? What is the prayer room? That's what I'm asking. And you know that the church is going down the hill. You know? Oh, sometimes we say, let's do this, let's do this, let's do that. But remember, anything outside of the gospel, we're doing the wrong thing. I respect the young people. I wish them the best. I want them to have the greatest time in life. But by compromising in the gospel, we go nowhere but in trouble. Have a firm stand. Regardless of what you have done, how far you fail, just remember, open the scriptures, and if they condemn you, ask forgiveness and get up and going. Don't stay down there. We learn by our mistakes. Do you know that? We grab this, we grab that, we grab that. And some people cannot think. They don't know. They cannot think. The consequences later, they cannot think. They're just floating. Hey, how are you doing this and that? Now we see Pergamos start forming the throne of the Pope. And that throne of the Pope is called a savior, and later on, he becomes a healer also. Because he will be healing the people. The people used to go there and pray to Asclepios for divine healing and salvation. If they had any kind of a problem, any kind of conviction in them or anything, they will go there and says, forgive me, and he forgives you. Isn't the same thing today with the Catholic Church? You know? I never knew how they do it until I was at the Basilica in Rome. And I remember, here's my students, prepare for it. They had a little handkerchief that you put on the top and going in, of course. The nuns sit outside, see somebody with miniskirts, it's $5, they sell them a scarf just for $5. It wasn't doing any good, you know. Give me the money, you know, and that's what was going on there. And I watched them going over. There was a confessor there that to tell them their sins instead of repenting before Jesus. What happened? They were telling their sins. And I have a councilman's wife with me traveling, an older lady about 65, 70. She said to me, this is paganism, isn't David? Of course, you know, she said what she thinks. Sometimes she was getting in trouble, but this is paganism, David, isn't it? You know, look at it, she said to me. And here I see my own student going there, talking to that hole, you know, in that pigeon hole there, talking to the other side, you know, to see what, to ask forgiveness of sin. Why? Because at Pergamos, he's their savior. He's the one who forgives or not. And if he forgives you, I tell you you are a good Catholic, you go to heaven. Through him, you can go to heaven. Without him, you can do nothing. The throne is right there now. It's for me. And someday, we're going to find out what Brother Branham said is going to come to pass. If that's Pergamos church age now, God said, I know thy works. And if you study it, You have a split church. Individuals, one here, one there in that church, that they believe in God and hold on to God regardless of what anybody else is going to do at the church. Do you know why? Because somebody gets liberal, you don't have to be liberal either. God establishes the greatest covenant with you and me, that if any man, that's you and me as individuals, are going to go to him. So what happens now, this covenant that the Catholic Church had established, you know, at the time, you have to go through them. And the spread at Pergamos, you have a man, and if you study his life, Antipas, some people feel there was a group that was killed, but singular tense, it's a masculine, it's a man, it was a man. And Antipas was killed. And Jesus is this, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth, but describes him as follows. Even in those days where Antipas was my faithful martyr, stood to the end. But the rest of them now are moving to Nicolaitan. He says, before the children of Israel, it thinks sacrifice unto idols and committing fornication. Let me tell you something. Sometimes pagans have acted better than some of the make-believers. Do you know that? You go sometimes to some countries that's total pagan. They will kill a dog, a cat or something for blood. Do you know that? To offer the sacrifice. There are people today in this message deny the blood of Jesus. That's true. They expect salvation through accepting the message and not through the blood of Jesus. I don't want to say these things, but truth is truth. Don't look out there. Look right in the place, inside. What's happening? There's no more worse thing can happen to a man than that, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, to deny or blaspheme it. What are we now? By looking at the scripture, the comparison, the final comparison before the 16th verse that asks, repent. Remember, repent. Or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. God speaks about destruction. I will fight against them. And then he says this, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. If a man doesn't have an ear to hear, there's nothing you can do. You tell them what to do, they hear it, but they don't understand it. Comes right here, stops right here. Seems to me it's a flesh recording right there. It will not go in to say, hey, I better straight up. I better do something. Friends, it's not the mistakes we do. It's the steps that we take to do the correction. That's where it is, the secret. Not the mistakes we make. Because there's nobody that can cast another stone to somebody else. The only thing we're to help one another and pray for to make the other side. That's all we care. But he that has an ear again, this appears in every church age. He that has an ear. There are people that can hear. There are people that cannot hear. I mean, in my imagination, I put in a Pergamos church, when they get together, and I have a little sister there, sitting there, a poor man, sitting at the corner, and they start all these programs and all that stuff. Probably they ask in their heart, when they're going to talk about Jesus, my Savior. He's not there. Have we done sins that we shouldn't have done? God sends a prophet in this day with a true message to restore us back to Jesus Christ. We forget about Jesus Christ and we exalt the prophet. Let's go back to Jesus. Brother Branham says, go back to the Word, go back to Christ. Back to the Bible, he says, back to Christ. Regardless of how much I heard and you heard. Many times I read things and I said, I was reading the meaning, why they had the serpent there. Why they had all these things. And I look at the picture of that fellow, you know, Asclepios. And I said, why they had a serpent for? What does it mean? And this. Wait till you see the meaning of paganism about dogs and everything else, and read about Romanism, and you find out what they are doing. Exactly the same seed of Satan from Pergamon Church Age I've traveled through. I don't know. I just feel that if anybody wants to read that about Romanism, you know, we'll get a copy so we can circulate it around the people to look at it and read. You know, it's about, it gives you all the things that they have to go through for everything, including nuns and everything, you know. And you say, where is Jesus in the whole thing anyway? You know? So if somebody feels that they want to read the copy and then pass it to somebody else, probably you can use some kind of a library decision or something. Who can run a copy, but I cannot print it because it costs too much money to try to print something like that when you print sermons. But that statement, Romanism, that printout, it will be a joy to read where God got us out from. And I hope that each one of us prepare for next service, next Wednesday, about Balaam and Balak in the book of Numbers. You found there that there are many stumbling blocks today. Do you know that? Deceptiveness. So I hope that all of us will study that. Brother Craig, would you take that and take it in the back, Brother Gatwin? Let's stand. Let's sing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. And I'd like to ask Brother Craig to close us in a word of prayer. Amazing Grace, amen. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was once lost, but now I'm found by you, Jesus. Was blind, but now I see.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, O God, for making you.
Hallelujah.
We pray, O God, bless us, O God, to find
ourselves in it, O Lord. Yes, my Lord. Help
me, Lord. To find where we are, O God, and examine our lives, O Lord. Lord, shed the things that are not of thee, O God.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Come one step closer to thee, O God.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Draw us nigh unto yourself, O God, we pray. Lord, forgive our sins, O God.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Lord, we plead the blood of Jesus Christ this night, O God. Give us the right heart and the right spirit. Oh, Lord, we thank you and praise you. Lord, we love you and honor you. Help us, O God, to be vessels of honor for thy glory.
Yes, my Lord.
In Jesus Christ, holy name.
Amen. May dismiss in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.